him, you will see his goodness, and his goodness will be upon you.
Thank you. Well, ladies, it's already been so refreshing to be here, but God has even more for us today. And you may be noticing that somebody pretty significant is missing. Well, our dear friend Loris is at this moment in Florida enjoying her brand new baby granddaughter. She and Shelley Cochran were supposed to be joining me today in giving testimonies. And Shelley, as you can see, is also not here. She has a stomach flu. So this is our plan B, but God's plan A. Yeah. All right. And as I thought about the highest of the highs that Loris is right now experiencing, and some crummy lows, maybe not the lowest of the lows, but the unhappy issues Shelley is dealing with, I thought, what an apt metaphor for our lives. I look at your beautiful faces and I know a dozen stories, and there are more that I have no idea about, but just as we have been singing about and hearing, there is a God who knows you, who is completely in control, who is good, and he wants to speak to you today in the midst of wherever you are. So let's open up his word. And I just realized I missed an entire page. This is great. So, plan C, anyway. So before we do that, maybe you, like Loris, are experiencing an overflowing of happiness right now. You're in school and you love it, and you just aced an exam. You got a raise at work and a great promotion. Maybe you just became engaged to the man of your dreams. Or your family has just welcomed a joyful addition. Maybe you finally retired, and in another week, you're looking forward to soaking in the sun on a sandy beach while you sip one of those drinks with the little umbrella and read a mystery novel that you haven't been able to touch for the last 15 years. But maybe, on the surface level, your situation doesn't seem quite so happy. You or someone you love has received a fearful diagnosis. That conflict with your roommates, or your adult kids, or your in-laws has become unbearable. You're devastated by shattered romantic hopes or financial struggles, a friend's betrayal. Maybe you just lost someone close to you and you're dreading all the firsts that are inevitably going to come with this holiday season. Where do you find yourself as we approach Thanksgiving? These two groups don't seem at first to have a lot in common, but whether you fall on one side of the extreme or the other, or somewhere in the mundane middle, if you are found in Christ today, there's good news that will help sustain you through every high and every low of this life and every in-between, not only for the holiday season, but for every day. In a way, what I'm sharing with you today is not news at all. If you read your Bible or you listen to our faithful expository preaching each week, you will recognize everything that I'm going to say. And in fact, because of the plan B-ness of today, I am going to borrow extensively from Mike Bullmore, who spoke to us just a month ago, and I commend his talk, which is on our YouTube. I highly recommend that whether you were here to hear that or not, you listen to it again, because there are treasures that you will find. I'm not able to go extensively into the passage that we're going to talk about like Mike did, but we are going to take a look at six benefits that every believer who has trusted in and been justified by faith in Christ possesses. So, now you can open your Bibles to Romans 5. Also, if you look in the middle of your table, you will find a stack of these papers. I like things to be pretty. I would say if you like taking notes, maybe turn it over and take them on this side, because there are six sections, and when we're done, if you would like, you can write these six benefits at the top of each section and then list some things that God brings to your mind. And maybe this can be a little keepsake for you to remember what we've talked about today. Or you can give it to your grandkids and they can like scribble on it. All right. Let's read together from Romans 5, 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's pray. Father, you are good, and you have been faithful. Lord, we depend on you. Open our eyes today to behold wonderful things from your law, and please do what only you can do. By the power of your Spirit, amen. You may have noticed that the very beginning of our passage is the word therefore, and you would be right to think that it's important to know what came before it. We don't have time to go into that thoroughly today, but in the earlier chapters of Romans, Paul makes it clear that justification is God's act of declaring a sinful person righteous and forgiven based on faith in Jesus Christ, not based on his or her own works. It's a legal declaration where God forgives our sins and counts Christ's righteousness as belonging to us, effectively making the believer not guilty in God's sight. So if you have been justified, here is benefit number one: peace with God. You can find this in verse 1. If you are justified, that means you have final, complete, lasting peace with God. This peace is far more than just a calm, easy feeling. It is the total absence of hostility. It's not a tenuous peace, like what we've recently seen with Gaza and Israel. A plan was signed, but before you knew it, you were hearing about more bombing that resulted in over 300 deaths since the ceasefire took effect. No, this peace is God's promise. There is nothing that stands between you and him forever. This is a truth, as Mike told us, to treasure every day. But there's more. The second benefit is access to grace. This is found in verse 2. Mike gave us a description of the grace of God as an expansive place of freedom. I was thinking about the movie The Wizard of Oz. When I was a kid, we only had a black and white television, and I saw The Wizard of Oz at my house, and it was black and white. But when I went to the movie theater, in the scene when the tornado's over and Dorothy steps out of her door, suddenly everything turns into brilliant color. That's what the grace of God is like. This is what deliverance from the kingdom of laws to the kingdom of grace looks like. Have you ever stayed in one of those million-dollar beach houses on the Outer Banks, or in a really lavish Airbnb? When you get there, you are given an access code. So you can get into that house, and for the time that you have rented it, you can enjoy access to everything there. But as soon as your time is up, the code changes, and you are locked out. The grace of God is not like that. We are given a permanent access code that will never expire. We have permanent access to the expansive, colorful, beautiful, life-giving grace of God. And that's something we can treasure every day. The next benefit of our justification is that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We see this in verse 2 also. But what does that mean? The hope of the glory of God refers to the confident expectation of future glorification and a future unveiled vision of God's divine majesty. It's an anticipation of sharing in his glory, which includes being freed from sin, receiving a new, glorified body, and seeing God clearly. In Romans 8:17, we're told that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Friends, this is such a glorious truth that any picture I could try to think to illustrate it seemed a really poor, tawdry comparison. So maybe you can come up with a better one when you're having your group discussion. But I did think of the story of Pinocchio, a little wooden puppet. His rebellion and disobedience put his kind maker Geppetto into grave danger as Geppetto tries to rescue Pinocchio from harm. But showing courage and heroism, Pinocchio gives up his own life to save Geppetto. All seems lost, but Pinocchio is brought back to life and transformed into a human, a living, breathing boy who has been made like his father and can enjoy a genuine relationship with him. Of course, that's not a perfect analogy, but you get where I'm going. The fourth benefit is joy in suffering. Maybe this will seem especially pertinent to some of you today. Some years ago, my friend Lori stood pale, dressed in black, at the funeral of her little daughter, who lived only a few days. After a week of frantic hopes and prayers and surgeries, her heart defect could not be repaired. Lori and her husband heard the words, "I'm so sorry. We did everything we could." Now, as Lori looked at the tiny casket, she couldn't hold back the tears. She sobbed as she sang the words, "It is well with my soul." Suffering she had never known. But in a day or so, Lori heard a knock on her door. Her neighbor Betty was there, and she said these words, "Could you tell me about Jesus? Because I saw more joy at your baby's funeral than I have ever seen from what my religion offers." Ladies, Christianity is not the absence of suffering, but it's the presence of God in the midst of our suffering. And this is a truth to treasure every day. The fifth benefit we have is complete assurance on the day of judgment. And I have another slightly not great illustration, but maybe you'll remember how bad my illustrations are, and it'll help you remember. About a year ago, my friend Stephen defended his doctoral thesis after months and years of dedication, arduous research, diligent effort, writing and rewriting, meeting after meeting, submitting draft after draft to his academic advisor. It was time. It was the all-important day of the defense of his dissertation. But that day, Stephen had absolutely nothing to dread. He had already completed every single requirement. It was a done deal. Do you know, friends, that if you are in Christ, your confidence for the day of judgment is a done deal? It's based on the perfect work of another, Jesus. Jesus Christ, the righteous. You can have utter, complete certainty that it is not your own works that will be on trial. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Every other religion in the world could be encompassed by the word do. Do this to please God. Do this to avoid God's anger. For those who put their trust in the finished work of Christ, the word is done. Ladies, this is a treasure that we can thank God for every day and for eternity. Finally, benefit number 6 is the ability to enjoy God Himself. My little granddaughter Maddie turned 4 last week. Maddie loves 2 things, the color purple and bunnies. Just like every good Nana, I wrapped all her presents in beautiful purple flowered paper. And the first one she opened was a bunny family. Tiny, adorable, posable figures, one dressed like a daddy, one like a mommy, one a brother, and one a sister. Maddie squealed with delight. She wanted to take them out of the box and play with mama, daddy, brother, and sister all night. But we had to pull her away and say, Maddie, you have a whole pile of presents. We had to tear her away. Friends, this is an example of the lavish grace that God has for us. You've been hearing the word more, more, more. God keeps giving us more. After opening the last gift from her parents, which was a china tea set decorated with purple bunnies, Maddie was overwhelmed. But there was still more. Her mama told her that there was a new present too big to be wrapped, a table and chairs to set up in her room so she could have tea parties with her new bunny tea set and her purple bunny collection. What did Maddie do? Did she run to look at the table? Nope. She ran straight into the arms of her mama. And then she burst into tears. She was overwhelmed by the gifts. But even my 4-year-old granddaughter was smart enough to know that the real treasure was the mother, the giver of that good gift. She knew the source of comfort and joy was in the arms of her mama. So ladies, when you think of my not quite adequate illustrations, let's remember that for all God's benefits, the greatest benefit that He gives us is Himself. And again, if you have been justified, you have been given a gift. You don't have to cower in fear of God's disapproval. You can run to Him and enjoy His gracious gaze forever. The giver is so much better even than His gifts. Well, ladies, you've heard me say if many times today. These beautiful benefits are yours if you are in Christ. Some of you might be here and you don't know if you are in Christ, or maybe you know for sure that you're not. And if that's you, we are so glad you are here. We believe God brought you here today for a reason, so you could hear about His lavish plan to bless you in Christ. I am sure that the friend who brought you and the other ladies at your table would be so happy to share with you more about the reasons they have for hope in Jesus. So now we're going to transition into a time of table discussion, and there are questions in the middle of your table, and in a little while, we will wrap things up and do our drawing for our little Thanksgiving gift. So enjoy your discussions.